But we're going to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And today we're continuing our series that we have entitled for the past few weeks, Summer Body Loading. Somebody say, I'm going to get my body right. I'm going to get my body right. Get myself together this summer. And the reason why we called it this is because, you know, many times in the summertime, oftentimes people are worried about trying to get their physical health intact and making sure that they're in shape physically, which is cool, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we should also make even more of an effort to make sure that we're right spiritually. So this series is not about getting our spiritual bodies right. It's really about getting our spiritual, it's not about getting our physical body right. It's about getting our spiritual body right. It's about getting our souls right. It's about us being where we're supposed to be spiritually. And one of the things that's important that I want you to get in this series over these next few weeks as we continue is that your spiritual health is not the only important aspect of your life, but it is the most important aspect of your life. As your life goes spiritually, so does everything else. If you want your relationships to be better, grow spiritually. If you want your marriage to be better, grow spiritually. If you want your finances to grow, God has an answer for that. If you want better relationships, God has an answer for that. If you even want to be in better shape physically, God gives some wisdom for that. It all starts spiritually. That's the core of it, and we're going to continue that today. So Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And here is what the Bible says. Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and give up. I want to go back to verse 1. Here's what it says. Let us lay aside every hindrance. Everybody say, lay aside. And the sin that so easily ensnares us, let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith. So as we continue our series, Summer Body Loading, I want to preach from this theme and thought today. It's time to drop this weight. Tell the person beside you, it's time to drop this weight. Come on, find somebody else really quick. Tell them it's time to drop this weight. Type it in the chat. It's time to drop this weight. Somebody say, I got to get this weight off me today. I got to get this weight off me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your presence and glory in this place. I pray that you would speak to us, that you would give us hope, give us encouragement. Would you do something on the inside of us that we can't do on our own? We thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Amen. You can be seated. It's time to drop this weight. Family, I just want to ask us a question. Can we just be honest today? Have you ever been in a place physically where you said, I got to make some changes and get this weight up off me? Have you ever, just by showing hands, come on, let's be honest. I felt that. I got to make some changes. When I think about that, I think about this passage of scripture here in Hebrews chapter 12. In the context of Hebrews chapter 12 is the writer of Hebrews is writing to believers here, and he's encouraging them to remain faithful in their walk with God, in spite of them experiencing hard times. In chapter 11, the writer, if we could adjust the volume a little bit, chapter 11, the writer mentions how many believers of old also experience difficulty in their own lives. And what was happening with the believers here in Hebrews was that they found themselves being weighed down in different circumstances that were impeding their progress in becoming and being who God had called them to be. There was a bondage, somebody say bondage, of sorts that they were encountering. They found themselves being weighed down by discouragement. They found themselves being weighed down by doubt. They found themselves being weighed down even by disbelief. They were carrying the weight in their lives and on their faith journey that was interfering with the quality of their walk with God. It was interfering with them, as the writer would say, here, with running the race or living the life that God had called them to live. And when I think about that in the context of what the believers are dealing with here in the book of Hebrews, the setting and the context, I think that's something that connects with all of us here today. Because all of us, online, in person, I believe that if we're honest, we can identify with what they're experiencing. Because if we're honest, many of us are here today, in person and online, if you're real about it, we're carrying a little extra weight in our lives that's wearing us down. And I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about emotionally. I'm talking about relationally. I'm talking about spiritually and even mentally. Can I ask us a question today? What is weighing you down? Some of us that come to church this morning and logged online on the worship experience today, and you are being weighed down right now by many different things. Some of us are weighed down with doubt. Some of us are weighed down with worry. Some of us are weighed down with difficulties. What weight are you carrying? What extra weight are you carrying that is slowing you down from running the race, as the writer would say, or more importantly, from living the life that God has called and created you to live? What extra weight are you carrying that's interfering with your progress? Let me ask you a question. Are you carrying the weight of the opinions of people on your back right now? Are you carrying past mistakes and traumas that have happened in your life? Are you carrying the weight of the failures that happened years ago? Are you carrying around labels and limitations that have attached themselves or have been placed on your life? Is there anything that is interfering with you believing who God has called you to be or being who God has called you to be? Can I ask you, are you carrying around the weight of bitterness right now? Are you carrying around the weight of resentment right now? Are you carrying around the weight of fear right now? The weight of shame right now? What kind of weight are you carrying? And I think all of us, if we're real about it in here, all of us came in here carrying a little extra weight. We got a little extra on us today. We don't like to admit it. And sometimes we don't like to look at the scale physically. But I think even more, we don't like to look at the scale emotionally. We don't like to look at the scale mentally. We don't like to look at the scale spiritually. Because the weight reminds us of the fact that it feels as if we're stuck in life and we're restricted in life and we're not able to move forward in life. I just want to ask us a question here, just by showing hands. How many of us can be honest and say, Pastor, I came in here a little weighed down today? Come on, my heart is a little heavy today. My mind, I got a whole lot on my mind. Come on, online, I want you to drop some emojis in the chat. Come on, some of us are here today, and you've been weighed down by a whole lot. You're weighed down by decisions that you got to make. You're weighed down by the stress that you're carrying. You're weighed down by the anxiety that's in your body. You're weighed down by the fear. Some of us have not had a good night of sleep all month long because you are carrying extra weight on your heart, on your mind. You're dealing with it, and it's interfering with you being who God has called you to be. All of us in here got some extra weight, and here's what I've realized about all of us when it comes to extra weight. The only difference between some of us and others is you just know how to hide it well. But all of us got a little extra weight. All of us got a little something on us that we're carrying. Just because the person you're sitting next to isn't carrying the weight that you're carrying doesn't mean that they're not carrying any weight at all. Some of us are carrying the weight of having to raise kids by ourselves. Some of us are having to carry the weight of dealing with the fact that you just received a pink slip this week and you're trying to figure out how are you going to make ends meet. Many of us in here, we're carrying weight many people don't know about. And it's the same thing that the believers were dealing with here. And it was affecting their progress. It was affecting their faith. It was affecting the quality of their spiritual life. But in spite of all that the believers are carrying like us, the writer says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I love it. The writer says this: therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Come on, I want you to look at verse 1, chapter 12. Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, One of the things that you got to always ask when you look at scripture, this is a quick little biblical interpretation tip when you're studying the Bible. When it has transitional words like therefore, you always want to ask the question, what's the therefore, therefore? And when you ask that question, what you will realize is that the therefore here is designed to connect what was previously said with what the writer is getting ready to say. And when the writer says, therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses, the therefore is here because the writer's trying to help the people understand and help us ultimately understand that there are people who can testify to what it feels like to experience weighty situations and difficult situations in their own lives. But these same people who experience weight in their lives are able to testify that they saw God do something in their lives that was unbelievable, that was unmistakable, that was powerful in the midst of what they were up against. And the writer is saying, we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses of men and women who have stories all throughout the scriptures who can testify to the goodness and to the mercy and to the faithfulness of God. Moses saw God split the Red Sea in half for them. Joshua saw God bring down the walls of Jericho for the people. Rahab saw God save the people of God through her faithfulness and obedience. David saw God defeat the giant of Goliath through his faith in God. And when we look at their lives, we are inspired. But I also believe that all of us in here, we all got stories of God's faithfulness in our lives. You've seen God save you from your sin. You've seen God forgive you of your iniquity. Come on. You've seen God heal you of your terminal illness. You've seen God provide for you when it was dark. You've seen God do something incredible. He got you through the darkest time in your life. He helps you overcome the stronghold in your life. And I just want to know, is anybody here at the 11 o'clock service who can testify to the fact that God has been faithful? God has been good. He has been better than good. He has brought me out of crazy moments. He has brought me through dark moments. He has brought me back through difficult moments. Come on, can we take a few moments right now and celebrate God for his goodness and his grace? Come on, can we celebrate God for how faithful he's been? Come on, some of y'all got stories where God showed up late in the midnight hour and he turned your life around and he opened up the doors and he provided you with a job and he opened up the business and he blessed you here and he blessed you there. Anybody here who can testify to the goodness of our God? Come on, don't you dare act like that today because you ain't been saved all your life. You know that you shouldn't have made it out of the car accident. You know that you shouldn't have made it out of the valley. But thanks be unto God that he was good and he showed up and he made a way out of no way. Therefore, since we got stories testifying to God's goodness. Come on, I don't know what your story is, but you know what your story is. You know that you made it through some childhood trauma that you shouldn't have made it out of. You know that you made it out of abusive situations that you should not have made it out of. You know that you made it out of dark places that you should not have made it out of. Had it not been for the Lord who was on your side, where would you be? Let me help you. You would still be in the situation that you would be in. You would still be in the stronghold. You would still be bound, but thank God that he is a faithful God. And as he was faithful then, he'll be faithful now. He ain't going nowhere. And what the writer of Hebrews is trying to help the people, help us understand, is that God was faithful to his people in the Old Testament. He was faithful to all those great people, as he was saying in Hebrews 11, what we like to call the Hall of Faith. These incredible people who saw God do impossible situations where dead people were raised back to life, impossible situations where water was split in half, impossible situations where walls dropped down simply because people opened up their mouths, impossible situations, heavy situations, weighty situations, God showed up. And all of us in here today, you've been in weighty moments. God showed up. God did something incredible. And so now the writer is encouraging the believers to remain faithful to God as God has been faithful to his people of old, and also how they had been faithful to him throughout their life. The people of old, they weren't perfect, but they were faithful. They trusted God through these dark moments. But But for that to happen in our own lives, we have to deal with what's hindering our walk and what's hindering and getting in the way of us being who God has called us to be. And for the believers in this book of Hebrews, the things that they were dealing with was discouragement and disbelief and doubt and distraction. And here's what the writer of Hebrews is essentially helping us to see as he was helping them to see. It's time for you to shred the weight. Somebody say shred the weight. It's shredding season. It's time to cut weight. It's time to drop the weight. And what's the key to now dealing with these weighty issues and dealing with the heaviness that we deal with and the things that we walk with in our life? It's about committing to a lifestyle. Because just like in order for you to have a physical transformation, it's a lifestyle change that has to take place. Such is the same now spiritually. Meaning this, it's not just meant to be a one-day thing. It's meant to be a lifestyle. It's meant to be a way of life. This is what the writer is trying to get them to commit to. To commit to a lifestyle. A few weeks ago, I talked about how the key to a better life, according to what Paul says, is not more money. It's not more stuff. It's not a bigger house. It's not a new bay. It's godliness. A way of life that honors God, that pursues God, that seeks God. And what the writer of Hebrews is almost kind of doing, it's almost like a continuation of what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4. That is supposed to be a lifestyle. Everybody say lifestyle. And here in this verses that we are reading here, it gives us these different aspects of this lifestyle when it comes to dealing with the weight that's been holding us down. Here's what I want us to see here. It's about committing to this lifestyle. I want you to write this down. This lifestyle of elimination. Everybody say elimination. So the writer of Hebrews says this, therefore, since we're surrounded, and we have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside some translations say weight or hindrance. That word hindrance means weight. It also, in the original Greek language of the New Testament, means tumor. And the writer says lay it aside, which means to stop or to cease. It says lay aside every weight or hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Sin means to miss the mark. Sin means disobedience to God. Sin means doing the opposite of what God has actually spoken and revealed through his word. The sin that so easily ensnares. Ensnares means it entangles. Means that you and I can get caught up in these webs of weights that can be sinful or not helpful or harmful. I don't know if you've ever walked into a spider web. But when it's on you, it messes with you. You can't see it. It's stuck to you. It get all in your hair. Ladies, I feel bad if you got a lot of hair and get caught. But you feel it all over your body. But here's what's crazy. But most times you didn't see it coming. And that's this weight that the writer is talking about. Because oftentimes what happens is we get caught up in these webs of sinfulness or of patterns of dysfunction and don't even recognize it. So the writer says, throw off, get rid of, cease, stop this pattern of being caught up in ungodly things or unhealthy things. The text is pointing to the fact that you and I, here's what we need to do. We need to take inventory of our lives and hearts to see, is there something or things in my life that are sinful and also aren't helpful? Because it's easy to get caught up in a harmful and in sinful patterns of thought and practices. And when they get a hold of you, that's what we call a stronghold. And what God is inviting us to do is to examine, are there some weights and some things that are weighing me down that are interfering with me being who he's called me to be? Can I say it like this? Do I have some habits, hang-ups, and hindrances that are getting in the way of me being who God has called me to be? Because there are some things that you and I can get caught up in that aren't sinful, but they aren't helpful. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says it like this. Paul's writing to the Corinthian church. They were always under this auspice and this belief. Oh, man, we're under grace now. We're saved by grace through faith. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Our sins are covered. So we can wild out and do whatever we want. And Paul's like, wait a minute. He says, verse 23, you say, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. Here's what Paul is saying. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because you have the liberty to do it doesn't mean you actually need to do it. I'm a grown man, I'm a grown woman, pastor, and you can be grown and be in bondage. Just because you could don't mean you should. Just because I have the opportunity doesn't mean that I should take that opportunity. I want you to write this down. Just because something isn't sinful doesn't mean that it's helpful. Because if things are going to change in my life, I have to acknowledge that there are some things that are present in my life. There are some habits, some hangups, and some hindrances in my life that aren't helpful, and there are things that are sinful, and they're going against God's best in my life. There may be some things in our lives that are good to us, but they're not good for us. There may be some good things, but because I do them too much, they become bad things. There's nothing sinful about watching Netflix. But if Netflix dominates all of my time and all of my attention, it is getting in the way of me being who God has called me to be. But then there's some other things that are sinful, like cussing somebody out. They aren't talking to your boy today. That doesn't need to be cut back. That needs to be cut off. And the dance, come on, talk to me. Come, don't get quiet now. The dance that we are in is determining what things in my life need to be cut back and what things in my life need to be cut off. Because there's some things in your life that aren't bad, they just need to be cut back. But then there's other things in your life that are bad, they need to be cut off. And the more you negotiate, oh, I think I can handle it, the more you will stay where you are. I have to deal with the reality that there's some things right now that I got in my life that are weighing me down. Come on, you want to be who God has called you to be. You want to walk in purity. Well, that might mean you might need to set a curfew for you and your girlfriend and you and your boyfriend. You want to be financially free. Well, that might mean you can't eat out every single day. You want to have more pure thoughts and you want to not have a stress-free life. Well, that might mean you need to cut back or cut off the kind of music that you're listening to. They not talking to your boy. I don't know, Lord. Because oftentimes, we want the summer body, but we're not willing to let go of the habits that are interfering with us getting the summer body. I got to eliminate some stuff. Just like physically, if I want to get in better shape, that means I need to eliminate some things from my diet. That means I can't eat fried chicken every day. Come on. I got to eliminate some things from my diet. Some of y'all may follow me on social media, and I put up online on earlier this week how I had a confessional moment in the flesh one in my life because I tried to discipline myself to not eat sweets until Friday because I know that if I eat sweets all the time, it's going to be a problem. So I said, I'm going to Friday celebrate God's goodness all throughout the course of the week and all he did on Friday. But y'all, your pastor took an L because Chick-fil-A dropped the incredible peach milkshake this past Monday. Said the devil is a liar. Why didn't y'all drop it on Friday? So now all week long, I got to fight this thing, and I got to deal with this thing. And then on Thursday came, and I played basketball with some of our guys from our church because we got a connect group on Thursdays that plays ball at 6:30 in the morning. So I remember I was playing basketball. I burned like 1,500 calories, so I was feeling real good, right? And then later on in the day, in the evening, when I got back home, I cut the grass. I burned like another 800 calories. So I burned like 2,200 calories. So I was like, yo, I'm good. And then all of a sudden, I start hearing the chirping, like, you got that peach milkshake. Chick-fil-A closed at 8:30. And your pastor took an L. The flesh won. I didn't lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us. For me, it's sweets. What is yours? What is it? For some of us, it's social media. Nothing wrong with social media, but you live on it. It needs to be cut back. For some of us, it's YouTube. For some of us, it's our work, it's our job. God didn't create you to work 80 hours a week. It's time to cut it back. He didn't call you to work 7 days a week, 10 days a week. Even God took a day off. Oh, y'all not talking to me. Come on. Cut it back. He's not saying cut it off. He ain't saying go to your job tomorrow and quit. I'm done because Pastor, no, you don't work, you don't eat. He said cut it back. Not cut it off, cut it back. What things in your life right now need to be cut off or cut back? Some of us are married couples. What are some things right now that you need to cut back on? Maybe you need to cut back from assuming the worst of your spouse all the time. Come on, maybe it's a perspective that we have that needs to be cut off. Because if I'm going to grow and if I'm going to drop this weight, I got to start by eliminating some stuff. I got to cut some stuff out of my diet. I got to cut some stuff out of my life. And so the writer here says, lay them aside. What are the things that I need to lay aside? Maybe there's some perspectives. Maybe there's some practices. Maybe there are even some preferences that you need to put to bed and cut off. The book of, I think, Colossians chapter 3, I think around verse 5, it says, to put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Colossians 3, verse 5, I think. There's always this admonition in Scripture telling us to cut off things that are interfering with us being who God's called us to be. Jesus says in the Gospels, if your hand calls you to sin, cut it off. Now, he wasn't talking literally. He was talking metaphorically and principally wise. He says, anything that's getting in the way of you being who I've called you to be needs to be removed. He said, if your eye calls you to sin, gouge it out. Because a weight, this weight of sin, or this weight of something that's not sin, but it's not helpful, it's harmful, it needs to be cut back, or it needs to be cut off. What are the things in my life that I need to cut off? What are the things in my life that are getting in the way of me being who God has called me to be? And I think if we're honest, family, we got some weight in our life that needs to be cut. There's some dead weight that needs to be removed from our lives. Come on, can I keep it 1,000? There's some relationships that people that need to be cut off from having access to you the way that they do. Because it's interfering with you being and becoming who God has called you to be. Which is why the Bible says, walk with the wise and become wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. So it's not calling you foolish, you just hang around foolish people. What things do I need to be cutting off? What things, I want you to write this down, what things in my life need to be cut back and what things need to be cut off? What is it right now that I need to remove in my life? Because if we're going to be who God has called us to be, if we're going to run this race the way God wants us to run it, that means I got to throw off some things. I got to throw off some weight. I got to get the dead weight out of my life. I got to begin to cut back on some things. I got to say no to ungodliness and say yes to godliness. But it's not just a lifestyle of elimination. Here's also what it's about. It's a lifestyle of concentration. Everybody say concentration. Notice what the Bible says. Let us run with endurance. Verse 1. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Endurance is about stamina. But stamina is oftentimes tied to a focus. I'm concentrating. I got a goal that I'm striving for. I got a goal that I'm aiming for. I got a goal that I'm shooting for. Because the goal, ultimately, is to be like Jesus. The reason why I'm cutting things off is to be like Jesus. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And I believe that God's desire is for all of us to walk in freedom. To run this race with endurance, as the Bible says, keeping our eyes on Jesus. The focal point of your life and mine is supposed to be Jesus. The person I'm supposed to aim to be like is to be like Jesus. The whole narrative of my life is to be shaped around Jesus. He is the centerpiece. He is the focal point. Why is it so important? Because you become what you behold. What you focus on is eventually what you begin to reflect, which is why even in training, most physical trainers will ask you not only what are some of your goals, fitness and physical wise, but do you have somebody in mind that you want to almost become like in when it comes to your physical acumen or your physical health? And the idea is, once you get a picture in your mind, now you have something to strive for. And what the writer is saying, I want you to strive to be like Jesus. I want you to focus on pursuing Jesus. When I was in college, right before I finished college, I started a campus ministry, and it's called Focus Ministries. And the whole scripture based upon Focus Ministries was this scripture right here, keeping our eyes on Jesus, because the whole heart of the ministry was to help college students stay focused on Jesus, because there's many distractions on the college campus. Many parties you can go to. Many people that you can twerk on. Did I say that in service? Oh, my gosh. It's 11 o'clock service, so we're keeping it real today. Many people that you can be with. Many things that you can do at parties that you don't need to be doing. And so the goal of the ministry was to create a space and to provide ministry in such of a way that it would help all of us stay focused on Jesus. Because the goal at the end of the day is to be concentrating on Jesus. When you're working out in a gym, you're concentrating on a goal, which is why Pastor Eric talked about last week. We don't waste our reps. We don't waste our reps in the form of we're concentrating on the reps. And why are we concentrating? Because we got goals in mind. I'm trying to be who God wants me to be. I'm trying to walk in the calling that he has for me. I'm trying to live the life that he has for me. I'm concentrating on who Jesus is and on what he has for me. And the Bible says that Jesus is the source or the perfecter and finisher of our faith. Meaning this, that our faith rests upon Jesus. We live in a day and time where people will say that all religions lead to the same place. That is not true. Jesus is the only one who leads to God the Father. He is the only one that leads to heaven, which is why he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. He is the source. He is, as I like to call it, the OG of all OGs. It begins with him. It ends with him. I want you to write this down, that the key to looking like Jesus is to always be looking to Jesus. If you want to look like Jesus, stay focused on Jesus. Some of y'all remember a few years ago that there was this cultural phenomenon in the form of these bracelets that said WWJD, what would Jesus do? Now, as corny as they were in nature, the sentiment was powerful, because the sentiment was about getting us to question is what we're doing in line with Jesus. It was designed to point our attention to Jesus. Can I ask you a question? What are you focused on in this life? Are you focused on just making a lot of money? Are you focused on having a big house? Are you focused on having a nice retirement? And none of those things are inherently wrong, but they're not meant to be the focal point of your life. That's not the goal of your life. That's not the finish line of your life. Why? Because that goalpost is always moving. That finish line is always moving. You get some money, and then you want more money. It's never enough. You get one house, now you want another house. It's never enough. You get one car, now you want it's never enough. But Jesus is the one who never changes. He is the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is the one that we can build our life around. And so we concentrate on him when it comes to dropping this weight. But it's not just a lifestyle of concentration. Lastly, it's a lifestyle of dedication. Everybody say dedication. I like what the writer says here at the end of verse 2. It says, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured the cross. You know what that means? Jesus didn't quit. He kept going. He was dedicated. And the writer now says, verse 3, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself so that you won't grow weary and give up. I'm going to come back to that in a moment, but I want you to see this. The encouragement that the writer is giving the Hebrews, that he's also given us, is that in spite of the difficult, weighty things that you are dealing with, Stay dedicated to Jesus. Stay committed. Somebody say, stay committed. Because just as I can't get in physical shape without dedication, I can't get in spiritual shape without it either. I got to stay dedicated. I got to stay dedicated to the things of God. And here's what the writer is saying. Stick with Jesus. I know the enemy is pulling you in this way, and he's pulling you in that way. And I know the distraction is coming from this place, and it's coming from that place. But stick with Jesus. Endure. Persevere. Don't quit. Give. Don't give up. Continue to give the fullness of who you are. Stay dedicated. Stay locked in. Stay tapped in. Stick with Jesus. Why, Pastor Edwin, should we stick with Jesus? Because Jesus stuck with us. How did he stick with us? He stayed on the cross for our sins. He endured beatings on our behalf. He suffered because of our sin. He stuck with you in your darkness. He stuck with you in your dysfunction. He stuck with you in your difficulty. Come on, somebody. You know that he was there for you when it got bad. He was there for you when it got ugly. He was there for you when it got bad. He was there for you. He stuck with you. Thank God for Jesus being dedicated to us and for us. And because of that, we're able to be dedicated to Jesus because he was first dedicated to us. This is why the Bible says we love because he first loved us. But the writer is also saying, this is why you stick with Jesus. Here's the outcome of it. Here's what he says. Consider Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and give up. What happens if we don't give up? Paul answers this question in Galatians 6 and 9. Here's what he says. Let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. In other words, don't stop praying because it's working. Don't stop coming to church because it's working. Don't stop reading your Bible because it's working. Don't stop fasting because it's working. Don't stop giving because it's working. Don't stop serving because it's working. Don't stop showing up because it's working. Don't stop showing kindness because it's working. Don't stop sharing your faith because it's working. Why, Pastor Edwin, should I not give up? Because the promise of the Bible is that if we don't give up, we will reap a harvest for our faithfulness and for our dedication. We will see the results of it. There will be some fruit to show for it. There will be some outcome for it. And I'm talking to some of you in here who are wanting to give up and are wanting to throw in the towel and are wanting to quit and are wanting to just say it's over. But God sent me on assignment to you today to tell you, stick in there. Hang in there. Don't give up. Stay dedicated. Keep praying. Keep fasting. Keep showing up. Why? Because I want you to write this down. If you'll be faithful and continue to be faithful, God will make you fruitful. If you'll be faithful, God will make you fruitful. Which means this, no investment for God is ever in vain. And let me encourage you with this thought as well, because some of us are like, Pastor, I'm going and I'm showing up and I'm doing all the things of God, but I'm not seeing any results. Can I help you understand? Results don't come overnight. If you plant a seed in one day, you can't expect to harvest the next day. But it comes as a result of you continuing to be faithful and watering that seed and continuing to show up. So let me say it like this. You may not always reap where you sow, but you will always reap what you sow. And some of us have been confused because we've been trying to figure out, Pastor, it feels like I'm giving this and I'm sowing this and I'm showing up and I'm doing the things of God, but I'm not seeing any return in the area that I thought. I'm here to let you know God never promised that you would reap where you sow, but he always promised that you would reap what you sow. And what I can promise you is this, that if you will continue to be faithful and continue to stay dedicated and continue to be diligent with the things of God and trusting God and being committed to God, he has promised that he will bless. He has promised that he will provide. He has promised that he will cover. He has promised that he will blow your mind. He has promised that he will pour out blessings that you don't have enough room to receive. He has promised. And can I encourage some of you all today? It will pay off. I want to encourage you to let you know that your faithfulness to God, it will yield results. Your perseverance will pay off. The enemy wants you to quit. The enemy wants you to stay weighed down. But God has something great on the other side of your struggle. He has something great on the other side of your faithfulness. Come on. He has something great on the other side of your commitment, on the other side of your dedication. God has something great on the other side. God has something great that he's going to do. And I know for some of us in here, the enemy has been convincing you that the weight is too much and I can't be who God has called you to be. I can't be who God has called me to be. What hope is there for me? I'm here to let you know, if I was just preaching this word just with some positive motivational things, there would be no power in that. But the power is not just in the preaching of this. The power in this is because of the one who already practiced it. And the reason why we can have hope and being free of what's been weighing us down is because of Jesus. What do you mean, Pastor, because of Jesus? Jesus is our example of throwing weight down. Jesus is our enabler when it comes to throwing weight down. How? Because Jesus, he went to the cross and he suffered for our sins. The Bible says he was crucified for our sins. But then the Bible also says that he was buried on Friday. And when he was buried, the Bible says that he was tightly bound in linen cloth. He was wrapped in linen. His body was bound by something on the outside. And he stayed in this tomb on Friday, bound by the linen. He stayed in the tomb on Saturday, bound physically by the linen. But then Sunday morning came, and some people came to the tomb, and they noticed that the stone of the tomb had been rolled away. And when they looked in the tomb, they didn't see a body. But you know what they saw? They saw the linen cloth that had Jesus bound and wrapped up around him. They saw it nice and neatly folded, laid on the head of the bedstone that he was laying on. Why is that so profound? Because it was a message that what could not bind Jesus also cannot bind you. I'm here to let you know that if Jesus threw down the weight of the bondage that was binding him physically, he wants to let you know that whatever's weighing you down, you can throw it down today. That whatever is weighing you down can be thrown down. That the resurrection of Jesus is evidence that whatever had us bound can actually come up off of us. That the very thing that was attached to Jesus, he laid aside and left behind. And he's letting us know that his resurrection power was not just for him, but his resurrection power was also for you. It was also for me, which means that this family, that through Jesus, you can be free from whatever you find yourself being weighed down. Negative thoughts, get it off you. Bondage, get it off you. Lustful actions, get it off you. Generational strongholds, get it off you. Labels that have attached themselves to you, get it off you. I'm here to let you know that the very thing that the enemy said will always be attached to your life, Jesus says that he has come to set the captives free, that he has come to proclaim freedom for the prisoners who are in bondage to sin, who are in bondage to strongholds, who are in bondage to shame. And I just want to know, who am I talking to today that can say, Pastor Edwin, I want to walk in the freedom that Jesus has made available to me. I want to walk in the power that Jesus has made available to me. I want to walk in the liberty that Jesus has made available to me. Here's what he says in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. I want to close with this scripture. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And I'm here to let you know, I need you to get this in your spirit, that this is the year of favor over your life. We've said as a church that this is the year of abundance, abundant freedom, abundant breakthrough, abundant strength. Come on, somebody. Abundant grace. Come on, I need you to get this in your heart, because some of y'all came in here today, some of y'all are watching online, and you came in here weighed down, but I'm here to let you know that Jesus came to set you free. Come on, that Jesus came to bring forth liberation, that Jesus came to take you from your broken place and to bring you to a healing place. What had a hold on you was watching one of my newest favorite movies, Creed 3, a movie about Adonis Creed, the character Adonis Creed played by Michael B. Jordan. And in Creed 3, he finds himself fighting against his childhood friend where they had some past issues, trauma. Adonis felt all this guilt that was weighing him down and holding him back. And in the last match that they're fighting, it was affecting him from being able to fight the fight that he was called upon. And he was losing, and he was getting knocked down, and he was getting hit. He was taking some body blows. But then his trainer, Little Duke was his name, he said something powerful that I was like, man, Little Duke is preaching today. And I found this quote. He says, let go of whatever was and walk into what is. And I said, don't that sound just like Jesus? Jesus is calling all of you today. Walk out of what was. Walk into what is. I'm here to let you know that your past doesn't have to define you. That your mistakes don't have to define you. God is saying, let go of the past mistakes. Let go of the past life. Let go of the bondage. Let go of the weight. Step into what is. Step into His divine. Step into what He has for you. Because He has great things that He wants to do in your life. So the question that we ask is, what do I do now with this weight when I lay it down? I lay it down at the feet of Jesus. I'm here to let you know, family, that the reason why you can drop this weight, the reason why you can drop the weight of your sin, your stronghold, your shame, your preference, the things that have been weighing down, the reason why you can drop that weight is because Jesus already took that weight to the cross. He carried that weight on His shoulders so you wouldn't have to. He carried guilt on His shoulders so you wouldn't have to. He carried brokenness on His shoulder so you wouldn't have to. He carried sickness and disease on His shoulder so you wouldn't have to. He absorbed the wrath of God. He absorbed the judgment of God so that way you wouldn't have to. So that way you can live free. So that way you can live lighter. So that way you can be who He's called you to be. And I'm talking to some of you in here today. Even hearing this message for some of you is hard because you have been so conditioned by your circumstances. So conditioned by the weight in your life that you thought that it's not possible to move forward. I'm here to let you know that if a grave couldn't hold Jesus down, why do you think your stronghold came? Why do you think your shame came? Why do you think your sin came? Why do you think your brokenness came? Why do you think your addiction came? Jesus has called us to live free and to run with endurance the race that He has before us. I'm here to let you know, family, this is your season, and this is the day for you to walk in freedom. This is the day for you to be able to live lighter. No longer are you supposed to be living heavy. It's time to get these pounds of guilt off you. It's time for you to shred this shame off you. It's time for you to shred this label. I'm going to preach this until you get it in your heart. It's time for you to shred this stuff off you that's been holding you back from being who God called you to be. Heads bowed and the eyes closed. If you're here today, I want you to be honest and admit this. Be honest today. If you're here today, you can say, Pastor Edwin, I'm weighed down by so much stuff right now. And it's been interfering with who I'm supposed to be. I want you to slip up your hand. That's just slip up your hand. That's what I'm saying. I'm embarrassing you. I want you to be honest. This is a moment of admission for you. And you can begin to release that thing to God. Come on, if this is you today, you're carrying some guilt right now because of something that you did. You're carrying some trauma that happened in your childhood. You're carrying something that happened to you that you didn't have control over. You're carrying something right now. God is inviting you today to release it to Him. God today is inviting you to give it to Him. Maybe it is a parental wound. Maybe it is abandonment. I don't know what it is, but what I do know is that when you give Him your weight, He will give you His grace. When you give Him your weight, He will give you His mercy. When you give Him your weight, He will give you His love. He will exchange and give you something great. So Father, for every hand lifted, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that You will begin to make them lighter right now. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that they would experience the freedom that only You can give through Christ. I pray in the name of Jesus that they will walk out of these these doors and walk out of this stream lighter than how they came in here today. I pray that they will know that because of the power of Christ, they can lay aside every stronghold. They can lay aside every hindrance. They can lay aside every sin. They can lay aside every weight that easily entangles, that no longer will they be entangled. That now they will be free, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I pray that they will walk in this freedom, in this liberty that only you can give. In Jesus' name, my heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here today, and I need you to hear me, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I'm here to let you know you will not be able to walk in freedom without doing it first. You will not be able to walk in this liberty that we're talking about until you give your life to Jesus. So if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I've never given my life to Christ. I've come to church, but I've never given my life to Jesus. Today I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I receive your freedom. I receive your grace. In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said, amen.